the hand. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Dave, let's do another song.
Page 118, what child is this? Just read this verse, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 120. 118. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. What lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come pleasant King to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate you again. Coming here into December, I like to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care that Jesus was probably born in the springtime while shepherds are out watching their sheep at night is during lambing season, which is at Passover. But we're kind of busy at Passover time anyway, celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just assume we celebrate here the birth of Christ as we close out a year again. It was set in December because the Romans and the Roman Church thought that it should be on the longest night of the year. They had their calendar wrong, they've always had their calendar wrong again. I don't know if they got it straight yet, but they thought the longest night of the year was December 25th. Anybody know what it is?
21st,
again, on our calendar, again, that we've revised, but anyway, that was the longest night of the year, and so There's all kinds of traditions that's tangled up into Christmas. And I want us again to point at every one of them and find the Lord Jesus Christ on every page again. And just lift Him up, worship Him, and talk about Him all through the month of December. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Micah. Micah 5:2. I'm sure that we've all memorized this verse. We're going to read it in context here, and then we're going to preach it in context. Bethlehem Ephratah. We have Advent candles. I think we do have a set someplace, don't we? We have an Advent candle. We went out and bought a set. I don't like candles, very honestly. I put that in my last Sunday pulpit. My mom was saved out of Roman Catholicism, and they use, again, traditionally, they use candles, they use lamp, they use all these traditions to try and elicit penance. And so candles is one of them. Whenever you see candles, again, I'm even nervous, I think I said, about our candlelight services here sometimes in a church, again, because candles and eliciting penance out of people is not the way of salvation. If you're a Roman Catholic, it's a primary means, again. But the Catholics in their Latin Vulgate and Shane, I actually talked to Shane this week, he found out in the Italian Bible they had as well, translated over there in Italy, they took out repentance. So there's no repentance in a Catholic Bible, and there's no repentance in a Catholic religion. There's no penance in the Bible and no repentance in the Catholic religion. And so I like to emphasize that, but I do like the Advent candles and the series that we're going through there on the screen up here that, again, points to the fact that we have four candles and then a fifth candle that we use to recognize the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already looked at the prophecy candle. Today we want to look at the Bethlehem candle. And I want, again, to walk through more things about Bethlehem than you ever thought you'd need to know. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and let's look at Micah chapter 5, and you follow along in your Bible as I would read, again, a portion of Scripture from God's Holy Writ. Micah chapter 5, the Bible says, Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Verse 4 says, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Father, praise you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Be with us again as we rejoice in it today. Pray you touch our heart, accept our worship. Father, again, encourage us in strength and an understanding of your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I read there again three portions, actually four, when we cover again that first verse about his being smitten on the cheek. We know again that's speaking of his crucifixion. Bethlehem speaking of his birth. Bethlehem Ephratah. And then verse 3 covers a regathering of Israel. And verse 4 that we read covers that he is going to stand in strength. And so this, again, covers phases of the Messiah. And we want to, again, just understand the one. Understand, also, I've noticed in a couple songs we sung, or one song we sung this morning, that the world, when it wrote songs, or when Christianity wrote these Christmas carols, most Christmas carols were written by amillennialists. Most Christian Christian songs, or Christmas time songs, Joy to the World, it's talking about the whole world exalting him. And listen, that is going to happen, but it ain't going to happen until his second coming. And so they again have mixed up these four things that we just looked at here, the birth, crucifixion, the fact that he's going to regather Israel, and the fact that he's going to rule them with strength. Mankind and Christianity as a whole, from Roman roots, has mixed all those up. And so watch that, even as you go through Christmas time here, when you find songs that say the whole world's going to come to him, understand that was the teaching of the Roman church. But we understand, no, he's going to be rejected of men. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? But right now, again, understand that we are rejoicing in his birth. And as we understand his birth better, we can understand all the phases that we have here of this transaction called our Lord Jesus Christ coming to rule and to reign in this world. So let's go ahead and look at this Bethlehem Ephrata. And let me see if we got this slide projector working. And Bethlehem is a tiny little city there on the outskirts, and just above north of Jerusalem a little ways. And it's an insignificant little dot on the map. Again, we want to emphasize today, as we look at some emphasis in this message, we want to look at the fact that you, too, are a little insignificant dot on the map. And as we consider these things, I want that we would look at the birthplace of Benjamin. The birthplace of Benjamin. Benjamin was born there. And you remember, in Benjamin's birth, his mother died. And so, consequently, Rachel, the mother of Benjamin, died at Bethlehem and was buried at Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephrata. Both of these have great meaning, and we want to look at them a little bit as we would consider the meaning of these names. On his way to the throne, Saul, the Bible says, visited there. Remember, Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, again, that was born in Bethlehem, and he visited there. David, of the tribe of Judah, was born there. He was a great-grandson of Boaz and Ruth. David desired water from Bethlehem. But there was a garrison of Philistines there. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born there. As we look at these 7 points again, understand that there's still a garrison of Philistines there. And as we look at these 7 points this morning, I want us to learn some things about Bethlehem. It is the birthplace of Messiah. And it has, again, a meaning in that first point, that even though Benjamin was born there, if you remember, again, the rejoicing and the sadness that was there. And so we'll look at rejoicing and sadness coming out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Messiah. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life this morning? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Are you saved this morning? That's one of the things that brings us together to worship, to praise him, and to lift up his name, is the salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not, or shall not see life, for the wrath of God abideth on him. Got life? I like the little Got Milk commercial. And it rhymes with got life. You got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting that you're saved here today, that you're not under condemnation, and that there's a rejoicing in your heart even over the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he indeed is the Savior of the world. Verily, verily, Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation. Boy, it's a big deal. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I'd rehearse for you the Romans wrote, but I'm trusting again that you know it. All have sinned. God commendeth his love towards us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. Sin came by one man, and righteousness comes by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I used to use this on the street often. I don't get on the street as much as I used to again, and I'm muffled through a mask, and I'm muffled more through my missing teeth. But I got my wife a free gift, a dozen roses, and said, okay, here's a free gift. All you have to do, if you go out and weed the garden and mow the lawn, I'll give you these dozen roses. Okay. What's wrong with that picture? That's not free. A free gift, you can't work for it. You can't do penance for it. You can't light candles for it. There's nothing you can do for that free gift of salvation. And so let's go ahead and look at the city of Bethlehem, Ephrathah, out of Micah 5:2. How is it that out of ashes comes fruitfulness? Bethlehem means Beth is a Hebrew for house, and Lehem must be for bread, because it's a house of bread. And so again, Bethlehem means a house of bread. And Jesus Christ said he's the bread of life, by the way. But Ephrathah, its second name, I guess you'd call it. Bethlehem Ephrathah, that name was tagged on it when Rachel died there. And notice again, it means this. It means out of ashes comes fruitfulness. Think about that. We're going to try and follow that theme through every one of those 6 points. Out of ashes comes fruitfulness. That again, out of your life, it is again the complete destruction. Once we understand that I am nothing and he is everything. Think of your walk as a Christian. Jesus said, except ye die, you will not live. And again, and Paul said, I die daily. And so out of ashes, out of, again, destruction, out of worthlessness comes God's fruitfulness. And so that's the picture that we want to rehearse today. Notice it begins in Genesis 48. And as for me, Jacob said, when I came from Paran, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. How is it that out of ashes comes fruitfulness? Consider first the failed kingdom of Saul. Saul was the king. He was chosen by God out of the tribe of Benjamin to be the king of all Israel. And yet, as you study again, you understand. Well, first off, when he was chosen to be king, remember he met with Samuel, and Samuel said, go down to the border and right outside of Bethlehem, there you'll find prophets again that will tell you certain things, and you're going to prophesy with them. And so the signs that Samuel gave to Saul to indicate his coming into the kingdom took him down to Bethlehem, where his tribe came from again. Bethlehem was further, and how did that end with Saul being king? That's the ashes, okay. And yet out of that came a man after God's own heart. David was born there. And so we find it's a birthplace of kings, Saul and now David. And as we look at that again, this is a man after God's heart. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. And so understand that there, the place of Rachel's sepulcher, is a place where from ashes to fruitfulness. And Saul's kingdom went to ashes, but there came fruitfulness out of it because David, again, was chosen to be the king. Bethlehem, as we look at that, consider Ruth the Moabite. Bethlehem, the birthplace of David's great-grandfather, Boaz, the prime example of a kinsman redeemer. And so remember, Ruth and or Naomi, again, had gone down with her husband, and her husband died, and her two sons died. And she came back with a Moabite named Ruth. And again, out of ashes comes fruitfulness. And God, again, puts everything together to cause, again, that they have a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. And out of, again, a Moabite named Ruth comes the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of ashes comes fruitfulness. Don't forget, there's another interesting thing here too that you don't find unless you study your Bible a little bit, but the Salmon, who begat Boaz, as it says in Matthew chapter 1, Salmon, he was one of the spies that went down to spy on Jericho, and he stayed the night there with, I forgot her name, the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Is it Rahab, right? And sure enough, there it is they marry. He marries the one that took care of one of the spies there, and he becomes in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ here, in the lineage of Boaz as well. And don't forget Salmon here, and the fact that out of ashes comes God's blessing. As I said earlier, the term Bethlehem means a house of bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. As your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 50 says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. And so again, we have that. Again, John chapter 6 is replete with a lesson on the bread of life. Bread comes from the house of bread. There, the house from the wheat harvest is mentioned in the Boaz story. And so a Ruth story. And so notice again here that the bread of life comes from Bethlehem. Out of, again, the ashes comes the bread of life. If you're into numerology, I said that I think a couple weeks ago that if you take 2020 and divide by 666, you get Joe Biden's webpage number, 30331 or whatever it was. But also, if you take your Bible and look up John 6:66, you find that from that time on, from this teaching about the bread of life, from that time on, not many followed him. And so we see a separation of the Lord Jesus Christ from the masses at that verse. Bethlehem, David desired water from its well. It's curious again, and again, I always remember as a teenager hearing this in Sunday school and pondering it and wondering about it and say, why is that in the Bible? What's the importance of that? And David here wanted water from the well, which was at Bethlehem, if you remember. And so his mighty men went, and they went through with a garrison of the Philistines, and they brought him back water from the well at Bethlehem. And he wouldn't drink it because he was not worthy to drink the water that these men risked their lives for. And so he poured it out on the ground. Listen, you and I are not worthy of the living water that comes from Bethlehem. And so again, as we understand that, and understand that he is the living water that comes from the well at Bethlehem. I don't know if I got to that slide or not. Yeah, David desired water from the well. And I guess it's the next slide. In John chapter 4, Jesus is with the woman at the well and answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. And so we see a portrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating his birth here in Bethlehem, but celebrate also that he is the bread of life. He is the living water. And again, when we partake of that living water, the Bible goes on to say that out of your belly shall flow living waters. And I was always curious of why that's out of your belly, not why out of your mouth shall flow living waters, not why out of your heart. There's so many verses that talks about your heart. But why is it out of your belly? And that's the seat of our emotions. And so, understand that out of our emotions, out of our deepest feelings, out of our, deepest thoughts comes, a living water that shall flow into everlasting life. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we see again in all of these contexts that again, out of ashes, Euphrata, out of the ashes comes life. Out of the ashes comes fruitfulness. And out of your life, it's the hard times that produces the blessings. It's a miracle again that God, I mentioned Gideon and his 300 men. God doesn't want again to do things the normal way. God wants to make sure that he gets all the glory. And that's what that account was of there. And that's what here we find in Bethlehem, Euphrates, that God does what only God can do. How is it that Christ, out of the ashes, comes fruitfulness? Isaiah 53, we looked at last week, says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so we see again that out of Bethlehem comes he that will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. It says in Isaiah 28, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I wanted to go through all 10 of those verses last week that talks about this cornerstone. And the fact, again, that many are going to stumble on it, and they're still stumbling on it. And so, understand that God had a plan, God had a purpose, God brought our Lord Jesus Christ into this existence in a little place called Bethlehem. Let's open our Bibles to Luke in chapter 2. I'd ask some of them to stand up and quote this, but since I'd be remiss at doing that, although I did it as a 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old, in all of our Christmas plays, let's go ahead and look at Luke and chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, parentheses, because he was of the house and lineage of David. When we went through the prophecy candle and looked at some of the Bible prophecies, it was amazing to me that God accounts in biblical prophecy that he comes out of Galilee. God accounts that he was born in Bethlehem. God accounts that he was a Nazarene. And God accounts that he came up from out of Egypt. all of those in biblical prophecy. And so we have, again, a tremendous miracle here as we walk through this Christmas time. And as we sing, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Again, understand the miracle that's involved of God bringing forth his only begotten Son, born in a barn. And again, God himself made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Celebrate his birth. It's interesting also that there's still a garrison of Philistines in Bethlehem. The world has not fallen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen on the internet, some things you see on the internet you wish you could unsee again, but one of them was a guy carrying a sign that said, if Jesus comes again, we will kill him again. And so the truth of that kind of rings poorly true, that that's the attitude of even America now, is surprising, the rejection of him. And so there's still a garrison of Philistines in Bethlehem. The world does not receive our Lord Jesus Christ. He is still rejected of men. In February 20, 2009, Beverly and I toured, a 10-day tour, a pastor's tour of the Holy Land. We were not allowed to go into Bethlehem because our guides and our bus driver were Jewish, and no Jews were allowed in Bethlehem. Isn't that something? So in 2009, guess what's true today? It's under Palestinian control, and Jews are not allowed in Bethlehem unless they have, unless they're essential, I guess you'd have to say. How things are changing around here, to hear that phrase. Jews are not allowed in Bethlehem. There's a hatred for God's people. There's a hatred by the Palestinian people. Let me go ahead and mention this. This is free. Joe Biden loves the Palestinians and hates Israel. So it is for Kamala. So it is for the rest of the Democratic Party. They have, again, made their hatred for Israel known. And all I say is be careful about that. So we're headed into, again, an age when Bethlehem is still the center of focus here for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the churches that are like there in that picture again. I don't know if I got all the labels to the right places here. I tried to sort them all out and didn't get well. But there's churches not preaching the gospel in Bethlehem today. There's the Church of the Nativity, again, the biggest Catholic church. The Church of St. Catherine, the Chapel of Shepherd's Field, Church of the Shepherds, the Christmas Lutheran Church, Our Lady Fatima Church, Milk Grata Church, and St. Charbel Church and Covenant. Listen, none of them preaching the gospel. The gospel's not preached in Bethlehem through all of that list of churches. So again, understand that there's a garrison of Philistines there. Yet today, modern Bethlehem is filled with man-made religions and filled with troublous times. Out of ashes, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. Zechariah 14 talks again about the time when there will be peace on earth, when there will be again a coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the day of the Lord. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when in Revelation 19 he comes riding on a horse again to bring vengeance upon this world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Modern Bethlehem. In the middle of all that, Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We don't have time to rehearse all of Micah chapter 5. I wish we did. I have it in slides here, and again, that is available on our webpage. And by the way, if you want all these Advent messages, they are at gsbaptistchurch.com/Advent. That's all you got to do is put /Advent after that title. And it brings up all of the Advent messages that we have in these PowerPoint slides. And boy, I'd encourage you again to go through the timing of this. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Again, a very familiar text, again, right out of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we understand that there out of Revelation chapter 12, boy, I'd encourage you again to be a student of prophecy, but also understand that here the Lord will be rejected of men again. And again, Israel will be rejected of men. All nations shall turn against him. And so we have several slides that goes all the way down through Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5 covers the birth, the crucifixion. It covers the regathering of Israel. It covers, again, the kingdom age. 7 is the number of completeness. 8 is the number of new things. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And so it talks again about the end times in chapter 5 of Micah. Be a student of scriptures, and especially through this Christmas time. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Father, praise you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you again, Father, for a glimpse even into out of ashes coming eternal life. Father, I pray again that you help us to recognize the principle even in our own lives, Father, that you work best when there's nothing to work with. So I praise you again and thank you for causing again that we remember that even as we go through this Christmas celebration. Though we be nothing, may we lift up the name of our Lord and Savior. May you use our love for you and our testimony for you to, again, just lift up a Bible witness in a dark day, in a dark age, that we could be your witnesses. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Let's stand. Let's sing a verse of O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. It's in our book. Anyone got a number? Sound it out.
Probably in the hundreds.
Okay, we're narrowed it down to the 100.
It's page 4 of the listing, too. That's easier.
Okay, page 4, you have the, on some of the, Old Little Town of Bethlehem. What is it?
117.
117. We had that looked up, I'm sure. Okay, 117. And let's just go ahead and sing all 4 verses. And rejoice again that out of your life, out of nothing comes fruitfulness. Out of, again, a sinner saved by grace comes our lives, our worship, our love for our Lord Jesus Christ. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While The angels keep their watch of wandering law. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to man on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts in human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Lord, bless you for worshiping with us today. I'm going to ask Brother Dave Johnson if you'd dismiss in prayer. Remember, we'll be back on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for our prayer time. And remember to pray for our country again. We're in troublous times, and let's just lift up. We know who can fix it, okay? And so let's talk to him about that today, Lord, this week. In fact, Lord, bless you. Brother Dave, if you close us.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we could be gathered here today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, for this time of year. Thank you for the scriptures being read, Lord, and talking about the birth of our Lord. And thank you that we have a Savior, Lord, and that He saves us. And just thank you, Father. Help us to keep that on our hearts and minds this week. And especially, Lord, help us to be able to share that with someone, how the Lord wants to be their Savior as well. Dismiss us now, Lord, with your blessing, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, bless you.
Happy New Year. Did you record one of these?